Hello and welcome to Professor Tom Presents. This week I have a conversation with Gray Dancer. If you're not familiar with Gray Dancer, he's the host of Rope Weekly and one of the lovers of Cunning Minx from Polyamory Weekly. Also, I'm lucky enough that he lives within driving distance of Chicago, so he's able to come into the studios here at Rogers Park 1A, and we had a lovely time. He's one of the few kinky podcasters who juggles, so after the conversation you're about to hear, we went outside and passed torches or clubs, threw clubs around and had a general blast, which is also why you'll hear a couple of circus jokes in this episode. Hope you enjoy it. Talk to you next week.
This show is a member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
I am here with Gray Dancer, the host of Rope Weekly. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to meet you, finally.
No kidding.
We're the two kinky jugglers who do shows in Chicago.
And you know, you sound exactly like you look.
I can't imagine that there's anyone else out there who does a kinky podcast and passes torches.
You know, you're probably right. We may be, you know, peers in
Pendulette's
that one
a close
way.
Second.
Good point.
He's broadcast in Chicago, but I don't think he's actually from here.
No, I think he's out in L.A. I do listen to his podcast, though. It's pretty good.
Now, if you're not familiar with Gray Dancer's work, you can go to graydancer.com. That's G-R-A-Y.
Yes.
Dancer.com. And Shibari is what we're talking about. Now, your show covers not just, I mean, you manufacture of rope, dyes, various manufacturers. I mean, you kind of run the gamut.
Yeah, and also Shibari is a very, it's sort of a narrow field in terms of rope bondage. Actually, I've been branching out to talking about all sorts of kinky things and relationship stuff and, you know, communication and negotiation, that kind of stuff. But we mainly do focus on the rope bondage, and Shibari is a facet of that. So
let's start with the basics for those who aren't familiar. Define Shibari, and then give us, how's that different from just tying somebody to a bed?
Basically, tying somebody to a bed is what falls under what they call Western bondage. You know, it's like the Dudley Do-Right. You know, the tying someone to a chain
tracks. Now the Canadian Mounties ties.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the Irving Claw, Betty Page style, that type of bondage. Versus Shibari, which, depending on who you talk to, you know, was developed by the monks sitting on Mount Fuji picking the virgin cotton, or whatever, you know, whatever mythos you want to subscribe to. But there is a style of performing in Japan that is very distinct, has very distinct ties. Some people say it is related and directly descended from a martial art called Hojo-jutsu, which was the way samurai police would tie up their prisoners.
Yeah, it was a form of execution and punishment, right?
It was an execution. It's how you'd restrain them beforehand. Let's see if I can remember the four topics of it. It had to look good, first of all. It had to not actually cause physical damage. It had to be inescapable. And there was one more that I can't remember what it was, but Hojo-jutsu is dangerous. It's like, you know, you don't sit there and just say, oh, let's have Hojo-jutsu and then fuck with each other. You know, it's really is actually dangerous. Shibari is kind of what developed to get the look of Hojo-jutsu and certainly some of the feel in terms of, you know, it is constraining and things like that. The thing is that in some ways it gets almost tiresome with the people that are like, oh, yes, I'm a Shibari master and, you know, I do this. And other people are like, oh, no, you can't be. You didn't study for 2 years in Japan. And It just gets into sometimes tedious parts. So I always hesitate. It's to say, you know, oh, yes, I do Shibari. Tend to say more Shibari style, you know, Japanese style, just so I don't offend those people who are very picky about, you know, they have studied the one true way kind of thing.
Gotcha. So how do you go from Western style, tie me down, to something, let's call it mock Shibari?
Okay.
So something that looks pretty. What step? I mean, is it the rope? Is it books? Is it just sort of being creative and playing? I mean, obviously, all three eventually. But what's the gateway drug here?
The gateway drug would just be rope. You know, you go, you get 99-cent nylon rope from the hardware store.
So nothing fancy. Ninety-nine cent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Now it is definitely a gateway drug. You know, you go from the 99-cent for 100 feet of rope to the point where you're paying $2 a foot for Bavarian blonde hemp from Germany and things like that. But then you just can sort of learn from websites. Although, you know, the websites that you go to and you see these pictures, again, it's kind of a place where I would not recommend doing. Kind of like you don't learn how to flog somebody or, you know, use a whip on a website because it's dangerous. You know, you want to have somebody who knows what they're doing sitting there with you, showing you the ropes, keeping in mind what's going on, especially when it comes to this sort of new craze of suspension. You know, everybody wants to tie everybody with ropes and have them hanging in all kinds of crazy ways. And, you know, that's where you get into real edge play because it is dangerous. You can really hurt yourself or hurt your partner. And that's where definitely you don't want to learn from a book. You don't learn from a website. You want to be there with somebody who knows how to do it and can walk you through it and point out all the different things that can go wrong.
Gotcha. I was reading. I guess I am very much in the Western style of bondage. I really am. Tying someone up more for function than form.
Absolutely.
A general rule. And that's because the women I've played with, it's been psychological more than, oh, I want to look pretty. I want to see myself in the mirror. I want to see ropes crossing. They just haven't cared. So, you know, I guess that's the cart that drives the horse in this case. But I was reading that asymmetry is really important but indicative of the Japanese style as opposed to the Western style.
Yeah, I'm laughing because the joke is, you know, oh, it's asymmetrical, it must be art.
Yes. You know, but they said that the reason wasn't for necessarily aesthetics, but because if you threw, and I don't know how much of this, that's what I'm asking, how much of this is bullshit, essentially. If you throw the body out of this symmetrical alignment, it's somehow psychologically different for the person being tied up.
I haven't heard that particular way of putting it. I've heard that in other contexts of people who are like really attached to symmetry, and so the dom will purposely do things asymmetrically, like spank one cheek harder than the other, things like that. There is definitely within the Japanese aesthetic a tendency towards asymmetry. You see it in flower decorating, you see it in architecture, you see it in whatever.
The artwork is like you can see an entire panel, only the left corner has any paint in it. Yeah.
Right. And so it goes along with that, but at the same time, when I think of the basic ties, most of them are symmetrical. The the crotch harness or matanawa, which means crotch rope.
Ooh.
there's this whole fetishization of the Japanese language with the whole rope scene too. The typical breast harness, it's all symmetrical. So I think that there's in terms of body position is more the asymmetry, where you have one leg lifted up and the other leg down, or them tilted to one side. And certainly does, I think in general it'll fuck with the brain. The way when I workshops, I say, you know, there's three reasons to do rope. There's for fashion, for fetish, and for fucking. And, you know, for fashion because it looks good. I mean, they had a rope harness on a runway at one big fashion show recently. And all of us rope designers were sitting there, you know, laughing our asses off. We're like, oh, yeah, $600 for that, or we'll tie it for you for, you know, $20 in 5 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Then, for fetish, it's because it feels good, because you like the feel of it. That's usually where I come in, you know, when I do clubs and things like that, and I'm tying people up, because they like the feel of the rope on the skin. Minx was talking about in your other podcast about how she likes the smooth stuff. We were just talking with somebody this afternoon who was saying, oh, it's smooth, that's too smooth. I want something rougher, you know. It's about how it feels to them, how they feel when they're tied up. And then there's, like you say, tie them spread eagle to the bed, tie them down in a certain way. There's actually, if I can plug a friend's book right now.
No, please.
There's a wonderful woman named Shanta Rose, and she has a website called Shanta's Bitches, Chantas. And she just came out with a really, really good book called Bondage for Sex. And it's straight out. I mean, she used to be a rigger for a lot of the websites that really have intense rope bondage, like waterbondage.com and things like that. And she just published a book saying, you know, here's how you do the ties. There's great photography in it. And it's almost a companion volume to another book by Bridget Harrington of ropelover.com. And she does one called Shibari You Can Use. And that flows more into the Japanese and the fashion aspect of things. And so between the two books, you kind of have, you cover the gamut of, you know, fashion, looking good. You have the Japanese style, the Western style. And then you also have the pure, hey, hon, let's try this tonight so we can really, you know, enjoy it.
Gotcha. And so that's one source. You mentioned not going to websites. Where would you go if you live in? Because a lot of people listen to the show. They live literally middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know, they're in Kansas. They're in the middle of Kansas.
That's the joy of the internet.
Yes. That's also the danger, though. Like you said, any jackass can make a website or a podcast. We're evidence of that.
Yeah.
We've got the entire Chicago kinky scene represented in this room at this point. But that's the beauty, is that we can do it. You know, any jackass with a microphone can make a podcast, which is great for getting your talent out. But it's also dangerous because if you sound like an authority, they assume you to be. Well, so what are some places that you would trust to send someone who is looking or at least thinking?
Sure. Well, first of all, there's those books, which are available on Amazon.com. You know, I mean, they're easy to get. There's no issues not to get them. They come in the brown paper wrapper. You know, there's no reason not to have it. I'm trying to think of a state where there isn't some kind of a kinky support group. And I can't think of any right off the bat. I mean, Ohio has a great scene. Kansas has a great scene. Texas has a great scene. Salt Lake City has a great scene.
Is it the kind of thing you really need to learn in person?
Well, it depends on what level you're doing. If you're talking just tying somebody's hands together, not necessarily. I mean, you do want to look at the book. You don't want to see, you know, the right way to do it so it's not going to cut off circulation and cause nerve damage to the hands. But for the most part, you can get that from a book. You can get that from a website. If you're talking about, you know, full body suspension stuff, yeah, you don't want to do that in person. You don't, or, you know, without a person there to say, yes, you know, here's how you do this, or learning how to do it. So I think it's a matter of degree. It's kind of like, you know, you can spank somebody with your hand and not really have to worry about it too much, but you pull out a shambok, you know, and you don't know how to use it, you're going to hurt somebody.
How'd you get started? What was your gateway drug? How old were you and why?
That goes into kink. Second time I ever made love to a woman, she tied me to the bed. So, you know, kind of from early on, I was kinky.
God love her.
Yeah.
Yes. We should all be so lucky.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate
that.
There you go. But in terms of rope, actually, I got started because I was cheap. I went to IML, and I didn't have a lot of money. And
you had rope for the same reason my dad bought a Chevelle. That's brilliant.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that's what I tell you about rope. Rope is like a good date. You know, it's cheap, it's easy, and it's fun. And if you're lucky, it's beautiful, too. But
I like it flexible.
There you go. But, yeah, actually, Minx and I went to IML here in Chicago, and I couldn't afford anything except I could afford the rope. Because at that point, I was buying from a place called Rainbow Rope, and they had real cheap rope, and I could just get a whole bunch of spool, and it was pretty. And we started playing with some harnesses, not too much, and then we happened to do it one night at a club. And we were really into it, and then all of a sudden, when we were looked around, and we noticed there was a crowd gathered around. And since both of us are attention whores, we went, oh, hey, people like this. And
imagine that, podcasters who are attention whores.
Go figure. That's kind of how we got started with the rope scene. And the more I got into it, the more I got out of it in terms of it appeals to my artistic sense. It appeals to my – I enjoy tying up hot women and hot men. And the idea of – the artistic, I'm a Zen Buddhist by religious affiliation, and there is a meditative aspect to tying someone up.
I can see that. Yeah, very relaxing.
And I get into that, right.
Now, I missed it. How many years ago was this that you started? Because you said the second time ever you were tied to the bed, but when did you start to really sort of dive into rope?
The rope stuff started about 3 years ago.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the rope stuff did. The kinky stuff has always been a part of my... sexual. Even before I had sex, I was reading sexual things, and the stuff that appealed to me was the kinky shit.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I hear early fantasy and that kind of thing
was
some version. Same thing with me. I mean, my earliest fantasies were at least some kind of power exchange, even if it was in a convoluted kind of 10-year-old kind of manner.
Right.
Yeah, the same sort of thing. So you went from there, and now you lecture, you do demonstrations, you get the podcast. I mean, it's quite the leap there.
Like you, I also, you know, come from a theater, dance, performing background kind of thing.
Attention whore, that helps.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a ham, you know. And, you know, my mother will tell you I've been a performer since I was like 3.5 years old in a church play. And, you know, once I got the taste of that bug, I was all about it.
So. How many nights a week are you out tying someone up in public?
Not nearly enough.
Okay.
up in Madison.
Stupid jobs and mortgages.
Yeah, no kidding. There is there's a once-a-month a big thing called Kinked in Madison that I'm a pretty regular contributor to. I tend to go to play parties, things that come down to Chicago. I'm in Gallery Domain. Basically, it's wherever I'm invited. So if you have a group that would like to have a demonstration, contact me at graydancer@gmail.com.
G-R-A-Y.
Yes, G-R-A-Y, dancer.com, or gmail.com. I just basically go where I'm invited. Sometimes it's not even just about rope. Last night I was presenting something on hot bondage. It's how to keep a scene intense as you're doing.
Oh, so you do lectures and just the
kink
scene in general. Okay.
Yeah, and
see, I only know you from the podcast and then from
rope
cunning minks.
Yeah,
so
you know.
you really
got the right idea. You said kinky sex reader. You have all these things. You can do diaper Dan. You can do rope. You can do polyamory.
Oh, I've answered questions about average penis length. I've answered questions.
Go.
The
see?
Very very Sue Johansson kind of questions just from listeners who listen to my show.
Right.
And so it just saves them the trouble of looking it up online. I've had questions about lube, which isn't necessarily – lube's a general. You're going to get – Sue Johansson gets that. I'm sure Loveline gets
right.
that. You know,
and
so,
I get
yeah.
to how do you condition your rope, and you know, where do you buy rope from?
Yeah, see, I'm certainly not afraid to right. go off topic.
Yeah. Which actually, I should add, it's the rope community as opposed to the general kink community. I think has a little bit less of a ratio of assholes to nice people.
Yeah, Cunning Minx was telling me that same thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was on the podcast that you were saying it. I can't remember. I'm sorry, Cunning Minx is in the room, is why I'm referring
yes.
to her as though she was here.
Hi.
One of the two, either you were talking to me through my iPod or you were talking to me in my living room. For whatever reason, you mentioned the same kind of idea, that the assholes tended to at least get shunned from the community, or yeah, at least the ratio was better and that sort of thing, which is nice. How much of that translates into your podcast? Do you get a lot of the, because she was talking about how
actually,
the community.
It's been great. I mean, one of the nice things about the podcast is when I started out, I was able to sort of like go to the top of the heap, which is Midori, who is, you know, the arguably the number one fetish
diva. Oh,
yeah,
she's amazing. I've heard her on Fetish Flame a couple of times as well. And yeah, she's very open to doing,
you know, this schmuck
independent
with a podcast called up and said, hey, can you do an interview? And we had a great interview.
Yeah.
And they've been really friendly, you know, when we go to events and things like that. I have a real good relationship with a guy named Twisted Monk mm-hmm. out in Seattle. And he offered to sponsor my podcast early on, which got me addicted to hemp rope. There really was a friendly thing. It's not the kind of thing. Well, I was reading today, The Dominant View, and there was a person talking about training. He's like, oh, I know we all have our tricks. We probably don't want to share our tricks and stuff like that. But if you have any advice on training the slave, I'd like to hear it. And I'm thinking how different that is from when somebody in the rope world tends to, you know, come up with a new tie or something. They can't wait to teach other people how to do it.
Just let me show you my new toy. Let me show you.
And usually then you riff off of that person. It's like, hey, look at that. You know, I can do that. It's kind of like juggling. You know, how many jugglers it takes to change the light bulb? 100, one to do the light bulb, and 99 to say, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Show them a better technique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like that idea where, you know, it'll be the same way, but instead of saying, oh, yeah, I can do that, they'll be like, hey, you know, I tried that once, and let's try this, or I can do that if you show me how. And that
do you
kind
think
of thing.
You mean maybe, why do you think that would be? I mean, because it seems like the rope community and the kinky community do cross. I mean, it's not like the gay leather community and the straight kinky community, they don't cross, they borrow from each other in culture, but they don't cross that much.
Honestly, I think it is the danger. I mean, the thing is, rope is dangerous.
Okay. You think it's a more mature player and older player?
It's necessity. It's necessity because you need to have somebody to back you up. You know, if you have somebody suspended and things go wrong, you have to be able to say to somebody with no ego attached, hey, I need your help right now, and help them get the person down.
Maybe that might be it, too, because doing rope, I'm brainstorming here.
Okay.
Maybe because as you do rope, no matter who you are, eventually you're going to fuck it up. And you're going to have to ask for help. And thus, the ego will be subjugated. Whereas with kink, I can just pretend like I meant to do it.
Right.
I meant to bruise you. That's part of my kink.
Exactly.
Or it's just two people in a room. So nobody, sorry. The ego doesn't get subjugated. You know, rope, you kind of at one point had to ask for help, and then you got over asking for help, and then it became normal.
I think as you go on with it, the more, you know, I wouldn't say advanced, but the more complicated stuff, I think you have to. It's too dangerous otherwise, and you know.
Plus, somebody's got to put their finger there so that you can tie the bow.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
See, I know this rope stuff.
Which, actually, I should put that down, you know, going away from the whole complicated stuff, is that a lot of people, you know, look at the pictures online and they're like, oh my God, that's so complicated, I couldn't possibly do that. And it's like, you can tie your shoes. You already know more than you need to know to do rope.
Well, also, most of what you see online, too, like the rope dresses and such, you can do it once. It's like knitting. Once you do it once, you repeat, and the fractal pattern emerges.
A lot of times,
from the repetition. Different. So you're doing one thing 8 times, then another thing 4 times, then one thing 8 times, then tie it off.
Yeah.
And when you show them that, once they realize that it's just 3 things, repeat.
Yeah, all that complicated Japanese bondage you see on those things is basically based off of 3 specific ties, a chest harness, a crotch harness, and a body harness called a karada. And karada means body.
Body.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I think also watching someone like you work, part of the good thing about it is when you introduce them to it, you make it look easy. And so they assume it is easy, and at least they leap off the cliff. Whereas if you made it look hard,
which
you
some
could
people
fool
do.
Them.
Some
you could bullshit
do,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could completely fool a crowd of newbies. I mean, watching some of the ties that people on your level do, you know, the really interesting artistic stuff, the stuff you do for other rope workers to show off.
Right.
You could certainly make it look difficult, and I'd go, fuck, I can't.
Well, I mean, again.
Making it look effortless, I think, I could do that.
Because we're both jugglers, you know, it's the same thing, you know.
You get less intimidated.
How long would it take to teach somebody how to juggle? 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not rocket science.
It's not
that
complicated, but it's how you do the delivery.
As long as you stay on this planet, it all falls the same rate.
Exactly. There you go. Right.
Yeah, that's the good news.
The thing is that...
The bad news is no one on the planet really wants to watch you do it. That's the problem you have as a juggler.
There you go. The thing is that the audience, though, the thing I keep on telling people is that you really want to figure out why you're there. Why are you tying this person up? It's fine if you're tying it up because you want them to think you're cool, and it's fine if you're tying them up because you want to make them look pretty. That's fine. Just know why it is. Know why you're there, what you're doing. That's more important than, you know, knowing how. Because, you know, if you're learning how to do rope bondage because you think you're going to suddenly get a whole bunch of women to sleep with you because you're doing it, not going to happen. You might get you can get a lot of people to let you tie them up because, believe it or not, women love to be tied up, and so do men. You know?
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's just... Which is kind of amazing. You know, I have some people who are like, man, how do you get women to let you tie them up? You know, what do you say to them? I'm like, they line up, you know.
You show up with a bag of rope,
exactly.
And they go, hey, what are you going to, what's that
exactly.
For there?
Yeah. So it's about the why. Why are you there? What's the purpose? And I'm glad, actually, there seemed to have been over the last few years a whole lot of, you know, here's how you do this. Here's how you do this. Finally, I think we're starting to shift to the, here's why we're doing this. Here's why you should do this. And I've had friends who have been like, you know, I know how to do all these complicated ties and how to do all this stuff, and it's just not doing it for me anymore. I don't know, you know, I just
Well, it's almost
really
like acting.
Anymore.
You have to find your motivation.
Right,
and from
exactly.
there,
exactly.
The character,
and
blah,
that's
blah,
the
blah.
Thing is they forget their motivation. And that was last night for the first time. I know I was doing this hot bondage thing. I'm like, I had everybody tie wrists together or partners, you know, tie another person's wrist together. And the way I presented it was like, okay, everybody put your tie wrists together. And everybody like got busy doing it, and they're chatting, and they're talking, and then they got done, and they're sitting there, and they're waiting to see what happens next. And I said, okay, now, just think for a second. Think about your vanilla friends. If you ask them, what would you be willing to try that might be kinky, you know, what's the number one answer you get? Blindfold, you know.
Right.
How many of you would have your friends say, oh, well, if a complete stranger told me to tie up my partner in public when I didn't know what was going to happen next, yeah, I'd do that. You know, I'm pointing out to them that what they've just done is about 300 miles past the line of comfort for most people. And yet they did it, and they're sitting there thinking, oh, what's next? Well, how about let's think about what you just did. Let's focus on the basics. You know, tying people's wrists together, that's hot.
That is very Suddenly, zen of you. It's not the destination, it's the journey.
That's
more Tolkien, I think, than zen, actually. I mix up hobbits and zen all the time.
You know, it's an easy thing to do, yeah.
I can't keep them straight. I appreciate you so much coming in. This is great. It was really fun talking to you. I'm here with Gray Dancer, GRAY Dancer.com from Rope Weekly.
Yep, that's me.